Okay, so we're going to be learning tonight the Shvivei Leiv from Rabbi Elie Lapian, page Resh Samach Hei and Chelek Aleph. And we're going to learn Eis Kuf Samach Hei and Kuf Samach Vav. They're really related. And of course, we're going to be discussing the Melchama and take away a very, very important lesson this evening. It's always good to be in this room giving a vad together with you. It's I don't know if you feel it, but it's very special for me. Matzina ba Torah ba Parsha Shoftim. We find the Torah in Parsha Shoftim. Parsha shal kiseitz al melcham aleivecha v'risa sus v'rechav. The parsha in Shoftim that if you go against your enemy, you go out to war, and you see a horse and a chariot, a tank, much greater than you. You are inferior to that army. So if you can put yourself in that picture for a second, imagine you're facing an enemy, and this enemy is a far superior enemy. And he has weapons and tanks and missiles and airplanes and everything. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us in the Torah, Lysira mehem, you shouldn't be afraid of them. Ki Hashem lekecha imach hamalcha meretz Mitzrayim. Hashem is with you. He took us out of Egypt. He took you out of Egypt. And don't be afraid. This is, of course, the famous pasuk that's quoted by Rabbeinu Yaina in Shari Tshuva, where Rabbeinu Yaina says that he expands this to everything in life. Every time you're faced with some challenge, doesn't have to be a mortal enemy with far superior weaponry. It could be something as simple as somebody that's you owe money to and he's chasing after you. That's an enemy that seems more powerful than you, or any other problem that might be facing a person. Maybe it's a difficult professor. Maybe it's a big final coming up, and you know you're overwhelmed, and you're gripped with fear and terror. So the Torah says, "Have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have bitachon. Everything is going to be good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. He was here for us when we went out of Egypt, and he'll be with us today. It's the same Rabbeinu Shlomo back then as today, and there will be a Yeshua." That's the first parsha that we're discussing tonight in Shoftim. And then after that parsha, there's the parsha of Egla Arufa. Parsha of Egla Arufa is that, of course, you have a ki matze chol ba'adama, you find a corpse somewhere in a field that Hashem gives you in Eretz Yisrael, and you don't know the murderer, you don't know who killed him. So there's a whole process, the Zakanim, the Shoftim, from the closest cities have to come and measure which is the closest city, and whichever city is closest, the Zakanim, the elders of that city, have to bring an Eglas Bakar that was never used, that never carried a yoke on it, and they basically throw down this Egla into the Nachal Esan, into a hard valley that was never worked. There's never any agricultural work done in that valley, and it was never planted. And then basically they have to go and do a mea culpa and say that if it's not our fault, mea culpa really means when it is our fault, but they say they absolve themselves, they wash their hands of it, and they said that we didn't kill him and we didn't see him, etc. And forgive us, you know, whoever it was, redeem them. Don't let an innocent man just lie like this, and there should be a kapara. And that's basically the end of Parsha Shoftim. And then, of course, we get led into Kiseitz L'Melchama, another parsha of going out and doing battle against our enemies, and that's the parsha of Yifas Tayer. V'yesh Levar HaTam. Why is it that we have one Kiseitz L'Melchama, another Kiseitz L'Melchama, and sandwiched in between these two parashas, Kiseitz L'Melchama, we have the parasha of Egla Arufa? What's the significance of this? V'yesh levar ha'tam. So Rabbi Elia Lapian says that this is the pshat. Ki al yedei ha'melchama, and this is talking about a melchemes harashos. There's two different types of wars that Klal Yisrael wage. Sometimes they wage a war that's melchemes rishos, that they just decided to do it. It's not a mitzvah. It's not like something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you must do. It's not like Kibush Haaretz, or it's not like Melchemes Amalek, or something that's a real Melchemes mitzvah. It's just something that, you know, it's an optional type of conquest, and it's an optional type of warfare. So then, through that war, what happens by Melchemes Rishos? Shehargim Anashim, we kill people. That's what happens during war. People die. And what happens as a result when you kill people, when you see people being killed en masse? Nasa zol etzel ha'adam shvichas damim. Blood becomes cheap. We lose the sensitivities that we should be having towards human life. And that's a very big problem. That's not a good thing. We should be sensitive, and we should be caring, and we should have a heart. L'chein hefsika Torah be'emtza be'parshas egla rufa. That's why the Torah inserts between these two wars the parsha of egla rufa. L'hayre is to teach us at kama hirisha Torah avor nefesh achas mi'Yisrael. Look at how far the Torah goes to. When you find one dead body, what the lengths that have to be gone through to be mechaper for the body, you have to have zakenim go and measure and then do a whole parsha of Egla Rufa, and you have to speak about it. You have to say, Adenu l'shav chazdam azah, we didn't see the person and let him go without feeding him. We didn't not escort him purposely. The yesh bazeh rak safek ritzicha. In that case, we don't even know if it was a murder. Maybe something else happened to him. Who knows what happened to this guy? But it's a safek ritzicha. Kimeforish b'parsha sham. Kidei l'lameit. So why is it? What's the importance of making like a commercial in between the two kisei tzel mochamas, the parsha v'egla rufa? Kidei l'lameit l'adam da'as. To teach us wisdom. U'lahaitzias ha'chzarias milibam shel b'nei Yisrael. Because if we don't have the Parsha Vegla Rufa, we are very close to the brink of becoming dehumanized. And that's a very, very pricely cost of war. Right now, we're engaged in a very, very big milchama. It's bigger than we know. It's bigger than we know, and it threatens to, Rahman al-Islam, get even bigger. I don't know how many of you are following the news. It's probably better not to follow the news, but if you're following the news, you realize that the whole world is literally exploding as we speak, as we sit here nicely. That's why I say it's so nice to be in this hermetically sealed room together with Talmidim, and we learn Torah together. It's like people would die for this experience right now. And I look forward to every Tuesday and Wednesday night. It's such a special time, like the, you know, I know you're busy with a lot of other things, but we take a half an hour and we just like are able to sit and just like marinate in some Torah and some Chachma. And the war is a terrible, terrible thing. It's terrible. And this is not a political shiur, and I'm not going to get into whether the Palestinians are humans or are they subhumans, are they animals, or is that an insult to animals to call them animals? Okay, that's you can listen to talk radio for that. I'm just telling you one thing, and trust me, there's no one right now that has a greater sinna towards Bnei Yishmael than me. But I will tell you that there is a the risk that we all face when we're watching the videos of the war and the bombardments of Gaza daily and the destruction of buildings, and it becomes almost like a sport, and you have how many Hamas commanders were killed, and how many people were killed, and how many dead bodies were there on the Israeli side versus dead bodies on the Palestinian side. And the problem is that we, as a people, that are supposed to be sensitive towards human life of all sorts, there's no choice. I'm not saying that, chas v'shalom, please don't misunderstand. This is a war that has to be fought, and it has to be fought till the end, and it has to be done, you know, to the nth degree, and to try to root out any vestiges of evil. That's not debatable. All I'm saying tonight is that we have to try to maintain a certain degree of sensitivity towards the loss of human life. Not the loss of terrorists, but the loss of any human life. I'm talking about people, assuming that there are non-terrorists in the Gaza Strip, and that's, I guess, debatable. I'm saying little children and women, and you can't, people that are like, yes, we bomb, carpet bomb, you know, make it into a parking lot. I have a problem with that. I don't have a problem that, you know, that the, but there's a problem with us speaking like that and feeling that way, because there's human life. The Rabbeinu Shalom created everybody. And you have to do, I'm not saying I have a better etzah than bombing from the air and then hopefully getting everyone, but the problem, I don't even care about their life. I care about our sensitivity towards life, bechlal. And that's the problem with like watching too many of these videos, and I'm guilty as charged. I don't think anyone watches as many videos these days and constantly refreshes the screen of the news as much. I mean, I have a daughter that's flying out as we speak, you know, out of Ben Gurion right now to come home and for a simcha in the family, and you know, she was calling me this morning, and there was, you know, she's in the airport and there were sirens going off. She went to the these are crazy times we're living in. But we have to be able to, you know, so that's why, you know, I'm very obsessed with watching the news about the hospital and who is in it and the videos of bombing, yeah, bombing Israel, not, but there still has to, as much as we have to be certain about the face of evil and what happened in Eretz Yisrael on Simchas Torah and the unbelievable atrocities that were committed that has all of our blood boiling. But if the answer to that is that just like they're animals, we should become animals, that I don't think is what the Torah wants from us. Does the Torah want us to mache emcha? Yes. But the Torah doesn't want us to become animals ourselves, to become subhuman people that are bloodlusting and bloodthirsty. We have to be Klal Yisrael. We have to stay Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael are by Shanim, Rachmanim, Goyim L'chasadim. We have to be strong. We have to be tough. But if you understand, I'm trying to like draw a distinction between doing the job that we have to do in war, and the soldiers have to be resolute. But us as spectators, I'm not saying we should be crying when we see, you know, Arab civilians being bombed, but we can't be callous to it either. Because human life, I'm not talking about the terrorists again, but human life is human life, and to say and to be and to not care less how many people die, I don't think that that's the hashkafas haTorah. We have to ourselves, it's important for us ourselves to be human. And the minute that we become them, then we're no different than them. The Nazis didn't care about human life, obviously, and Hamas doesn't care about it, but we're not them. We might have guns, we might have airplanes, we might have bombs, but that doesn't allow us to be them. And we have to, and Klal Yisrael goes through extreme measures to try to limit loss, 100%. And they're doing their job as well as they possibly can. This is not a critique of, I'm just saying for us, we have to, like, when we see that 500 people died in a hospital, assuming that these were innocent people that were in a hospital, you can't just not, like, say, that's not a bad, that you can't just say, all right, big deal. You have to be able to at least feel that, because if you don't, then you're no different, then we have no moral case to be made. Then we're just fighting like they are, you know, so they did it earlier than, they preempted us. Is that the only difference? And the world, you see, expects us to be different because the world holds us up to this impossible standard. And we know that it's a double standard and everyone, but the world understands that Klal Yisrael is expected to be better. The Ata Abba Meisenu Sidrach, the Pasuk says, you should walk, you should tread on their highest place. And Rav Schwab says that what that means is you take the most ethical guy, the guy that you think is mamish, like the most ethical human being in the world, that's where your journey as a Jew begins. That's not, we're not expected to equal the most, you know, the next closest nation in the world as far as being sent. We have to, that's where our journey begins. We have to be sensitive to death of any sort. We can't just like look at just, we can't, and the problem is that, forget about the Arab deaths, we're sensitive to our own deaths. If we watch enough of these videos, and we see the atrocities that were committed and Jewish dead bodies by bus stops and babies with it, that's not good for us either because that desensitizes us much more to our own lives. And I don't know exactly what the takeaway is, but I think the more that we, I try very much not to like, you know, even if they say graphic, don't, you know, I try not to look at those things because it's, I don't want to see bodies. I don't want to see a morgue. I don't want to see, I need to like feel a little bit that, you know, that reluctance to see death, which we all, I think, naturally have. But once we become used to it and it's not a big deal anymore, then it lowers our standard of who we are as a people. And the Torah is very careful, says Rabbi Lapian, to make like a commercial break in between Kiseitz and Melchama, two Melchamas Rishosas, where it's very easy for a person to get barbaric themselves and to say, I'm going to kill and I'm going to murder, I'm going to maim, I'm going to take hostages and I'm going to do anything that I need to do. It's war. And it's being that it's war, I have license to do everything, and maybe you do, but you don't have license to do one thing in war, and that's to allow yourself to become subhuman, to allow yourself to become so uncaring about human life that you're able to not even have any conscience, any morality. So the Torah puts in the middle of these two parashas, the parasha of Egla Rufa, as if to say, one life, look at what we go through. One killing of a person, maybe it's Ritzicha, maybe it was something, maybe it was an accident. We have to get to the bottom of it. We have to do an investigation. We have to measure and then do a, you know, Kapar Lamcha Yisrael, Asher Padiyo. We have to a whole ceremony for one person because every single person is a world. You know, this one of the greatest problems with what happened on Simchas Torah is that if it would have been one person, if let's say Rachman al-San, one Yid would have been killed by an Arab, or one Yid would have been taken prisoner by an Arab, it would have been a news item, you know, with banner headlines in every newspaper in the world, and we would be upset about it, and we would be bothered by it. But at least we can somehow relate to the human side of the story. We can understand this person has a family, and we see the family interviewed, and we see the, you know, the when you're speaking about 1,300 human lives, you don't even know where to begin. It's like Niagara Falls coming on your head. You can't take a drop of Niagara Falls. It doesn't work that way. It's so much. It's so overwhelming. 199 prisoners in Gaza. I don't even know what that means. If it was one prisoner, I'd at least be able to like relate. The numbers are so astounding that we can't even begin to, so it just becomes a game. Like, it just becomes like, you know, 1,300 people, and it's just in the numbers, and now we're counting how many Arabs are killed, and we have to get, like, multiples of, you know, four or five in order to make the game even, and, you know, it becomes like just numbers. These are individuals, these are families, these are Yidden, there's people sitting Shiva for these people, there's Almanis, there's Yisaimim, there's Almans, there's grandparents that are mourning. And then, you know, that's the people that are dead. They were the lucky ones. And then the people that are taken captive in Gaza, like, there's no words, like, to describe what they're going through, those people and their families, as we speak. But that's the problem. The numbers are so great that, again, we just sort of, like, we can't deal with it. So we just, like, you know, we're waiting for time to pass that we don't have to deal with it. But to really feel, you know, the pain, and that's what we spoke about it in the Shmuz, about being nice to Vayelam Chaveray, it's hard, because as much as it's easy, it's also hard, because the numbers make it impossible to even relate to one person. But we have to be sensitive to every human life. Human life, even in war, is exceptionally precious. Every neshama is a world. He says something interesting, Kuf Samach Vav, Achein calls it Mechamas HaRishus. This is only talking about the Mechamas, the wars that are Rishus. These are optional wars. Ki Beza Parshius, Sham, Shal Kisesim Mecham Leivecha. Those are talking about Mechamas Rishus. He says, of Mechamas Mitzvah, Eino Me'ereres Shum Achzaris B'Lev Chas Hashem. Fascinating thing he says. Only by Melchemes Rishos is there this possibility that a Yid's heart could be so cruel and hardened that we need an Egla Rufa just to remind us not to. Of a Melchemes Mitzvah, Eina Meirere Shem Achzaris B'Lev Chasra, Melchemes Mitzvah doesn't happen. There's no cruelty that could develop in a Yid's heart. Ki a Mitzvah Shrasha L'mal, because the Mitzvah is rooted above in heaven. Not only will it not have a hashpa of achzarius, of cruelty, when a person does l'shem shemayim, shefeh olav ara mitzvah, b'shefa shal kedusha v'tara, he gets a special dose of kedusha and tara, v'olidei midas taivis, v'af l'rachmanis yisera, amazing. Milchemes mitzvah is a different calculus. Milchemes mitzvah, actually a person can have rachmanis somehow, if he is engaged properly in Melchemes Mitzvah. He says on the bottom, there's a Gemara in Yevamos, that there are three simanim in this Ummah, Rachmanim, Baishanim, V'gayim L'chasadim. Our nation is one that we get embarrassed, we can blush. You know, we used to know how to blush. There's a book that's written by a famous writer, Why Doesn't Anyone Blush Anymore? It's true. People don't get embarrassed anymore. It's just very few people are, we're not by Shonim. We don't have that, we just like, okay, fine. Everything is like very, it used to be we blush. Today is very little blushing. There's very little feeling like remorse or embarrassment over things. We right away justify everything. But the Pasuk says that we are Rachmanim. How do you know that Jews are merciful people? Shnemer benasnach Rachmanim. I will give you rachman b'richa mecha, v'hasa mitzvah yir hanidachas, and that's talking about the mitzvah of yir hanidachas, the mitzvah of when you have to destroy a whole city, when they're avid avid zara, upirsha mefarshim dachikamer, imtekayim, I know you don't have this, but I'm just going to read it outside, mitzvah yir hanidachas, al tachshesh, shis ara b'lib chamidas achzarius. You don't have to worry in yir hanidachas whether or not you will get achzarius, ela adraba, yazil chashem yisparach, Hashem will help you have rachm, as the Pasuk says there. So, but in a Melchemes Rishos, we don't have that haftacha, that we're going to stay pristine and perfect. And this is what we're up against. We have to try as best as we can to maintain our humanity. Again, I'm not going to tell you exactly what I mean. And I'm not, and you might think that I'm a liberal. I'm really not. I'm very conservative. But it's still of vital importance for us to be able to always, and not only in war, I'm not even talking about war. I'm talking about in every aspect of life. If let's say, let's say you're walking in the streets of Manhattan and you see a homeless person. Okay, now I'm not saying you have to give money to the person, but do you feel for that person? Is there a regesh of like, I feel bad for the person. The person has no home. I imagine if tonight you had nowhere to sleep, except you have to go on a park bench and with a blanket, and who knows who you're going to meet up with and what animals might come to you, and, you know, a human or, you know, four-legged or two-legged and threaten you. Can you imagine what that must be like? So I'm not saying you should roll down your window when you're like driving, you know, to the George Washington Bridge and there's that guy standing in the middle of the street and give him money because maybe, you know, he might grab you or do something crazy. But at least there should be like some a modicum of just like a tinge of like, I feel bad for this person, a human being. He's not a yid. So what? He's a human being. He has a neshama. He has he has parents. He has, you know, he might have a wife and children. If we become so desensitized to everything that we have no heart anymore, then that's a very bad place for a yid to be. So today it's war, and mitzvah Hashem, the world will be over soon. But there's always going to be people that we have to feel bad for. Sometimes a person will knock on your door. You know, or sometimes a person will come to you in shul. And it happens to me. Sometimes I'm in a shul. I'm sure you've seen this also. And somebody comes and collects money. And there's always this one guy in shul that starts screaming at the person because, didn't you read the sign? It says no solicitations inside the synagogue. You know, you can stand outside. You can't stand inside. And the guy is like, you know, embarrassed enough to have to collect. And now he has to be triply embarrassed because you're screaming at him. Like, you can't do that. That's not acceptable. It's not. He's a human being. You know, he's not. Aniyim aren't different. They just don't have, you know, good finances. They're just like you and me. They're probably more chashev than I am. But you have to, you know, if you don't have money to give them, don't give them money. But don't give them attitude. If you don't want to give them money, give them a smile. Say, you know, I hope that, you know, I hope everything works out well for you. If he says, I'm making a chashev for my daughter, I can't afford, say mazel tov. You can't, you know, you can't. You don't have to give them money, but just give them some humanity. Let them feel whole. Let them feel like a human being. You can't be a callous person in life. You can't walk through the streets and just like, you know, like be one of these people that couldn't care less. And like, well, this is the liberal policies and what it does. Like, that's not the reaction that a yid has. That's what, you know, a politician might have, or that's what somebody that, you know. We have to like look beyond all of the labels and all the politics and see at the end of the day, there's human life. And human life is precious and it's holy, and we can't allow ourselves to be one of the tragedies of war. And it would be tragic the whole takeaway is, we killed another 1,000 of them today. Great, that's a good day. That's not how we should be reacting. We should be hoping that, you know, that Hamas gets destroyed utterly, but we'll never be able to bring back the lives of those 1,300 people. Hopefully we'll be able to get the hostages back, Mirtzah Hashem, if we daven hard enough. But those lives will never come back. You're not making anything better by just randomly destroying as many people as you can and being happy about it. That's what they did. And we get very upset. Oh, they gave it candies. Well, what are we doing? We might not be handing out candies, but we're fine with it. If we want to stay Klal Yisrael, if we want to, you know, really be people that are true to our calling of being a Mamlechas Kayin and Megay Kaddish, then we have to maintain a warm, beating, pulsating heart. If we turn off our heart now because of what they did to us, which is unforgivable, but that makes us into them, that's not good. That's not what we're supposed to, that's not the takeaway. Because then we're them. We have to be very tough and we have to be, you know, exacting and try to, you know, rid everything that we can, all the evil has to be rid to the best of it. But don't allow ourselves to become ruthless, cold people. And I know it's a very hard balance. It's a, you know, you have to like just sort of fine tune ourselves to have that balance. But that's, I think, what's expected of us. To be very upset about what happened in Simchas Torah, to be distraught. I know I haven't been myself. I'm in a blur. I can't understand what happened. I'm going crazy from it. I know many of you are as well. And we want to take revenge. We want to win this war, and we have to win this war 1,000%. But there's a Parsha Be'Egla Rufa. And the Parsha Be'Egla Rufa teaches every single life is precious. Every single life that is not Rishayim and not Achzarim, and you know, there's life, and we have to be able to somehow never turn off our heart and close our heart and be smug and be happy and be cavalier about human life, because that's not what's expected. That's not what we should allow ourselves to do. And amidst Hashem, if we are able to maintain who we are as human beings, and you know, as very strong, you know, capable B'nai Torah, we have to find that balance of being very upset and very insistent that, you know, that the job be completed, but at the same time understand that there is a human life. There's a great toll that's being taken on both sides, and we don't want to be one of the casualties of war.